Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
John Scannell has had three careers, all built around his love of the English language. First as a high school English teacher, then as a national language arts textbook consultant with a major publisher, and now as an author. His goal is simple. He hopes to write books in every genre, nonfiction, fiction, drama, and poetry, books that people will enjoy. That second career, by the way, as a national sales consultant, formed the basis of his first book, Road Warrior A to Z, detailing the career that took him to all 50 states and six foreign countries, helped him tack on 4.7 million air miles, drive 1.2 million miles behind the wheel, and spend more than 4,000 nights in hotels, motels, and B&Bs. John's thriller, The Well-Crafted My Backyard is Murder, is a story about justice restored. Sometimes you have to take things into your own hands. John Scannell, author of My Backyard is Murder, our guest on today's This Week in America. John, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks very much.
It is a pleasure to have you here and talking about this amazing career. And I want to talk about that. I'm doing anything wrong giving away your age. You're close to me. You're 74. And yep. You published your first book at 71. What made you want to be a writer in the first place? And what finally got you started at age 71?
Well, I actually started before that, but 71, I started writing in 2014 when I retired. I'd been a teacher, as you know, and a consultant, and I'd been writing the entire time. I used to write with my high school students, and I used to write short stories because I had all this time in hotels and all this time on airplanes.
Yes.
Yeah, and so ultimately, I had these six projects going, and sometime around 2018, my wife turns to me and she said, "How many projects do you have going?" And I said, "Maybe six." And she said, "Finish one of them."
Great words of advice.
Absolutely. So I finished one of them. And you know what? Once you finish one project and feel good about having completed it, the others just follow suit. So I started with a memoir, and then I worked through a political satire. I got involved with children's books because I have grandchildren. And my fifth book is my first novel.
You know, it's interesting, and I want to come back and talk about the memoir, because that will be available eventually, and the children's books as well. How these stories came about, it was sort of like the grandkids were there and you were called to babysit, and suddenly you become a children's book author. And we'll talk about that as we go on with our guest on the program, John Scannell. That's S-C-A-N-N-E-L-L. This book is My Backyard is Murder. I'll talk about that in a second, but I want to go back to this English career. How did this English teaching career, how did this influence your writing? I'm assuming that it did.
Yeah, well, it really did. Rick, when you have a group of high school English students in front of you, one of the things you try to get them to write, obviously, and frequently students will say, "I don't have anything to write about." And I said, I don't believe that for a moment. I used to tell my students all the time, you have stories to tell. And you probably have some really good stories to tell. And occasionally a student says, "Yeah, but I can't tell that story." but I'd say, yes, you can. And yes, you should. As a matter of fact, I communicate with a couple of my former students on a Facebook page. And I've told any number of them that they really need to tell their stories now that they are in their 50s and 60s. So it's that telling the story that I'm really interested in. And that is a holdover from what I did as an English teacher. I used to tell students that all the time.
And took up the advice yourself, and the result is a successful career, second career, or third or fourth, depending on how you count all of John's, everything he's done in his life, is so successful in writing the book. This book is My Backyard is Murder. Let's talk about this. A great story that you tell here, and it gets people thinking and maybe changing their thinking as the course of the reading takes place. What was the inspiration, the motivation behind this particular story that you wanted to tell for your first novel?
Well, actually, this book was in process for more than 4 years. I started writing it back in 2017 when a developer that along the southern boundary of our property acquired all this property, decided to clear cut it. There was a beautiful woods there previously. And not only did they clear cut it, but then they bulldozed all the topsoil away. And when they were bulldozed along our common boundary line, they compromised the roots of five of our trees. Now you have to, when I talk about our trees, I'm talking about evergreen trees, firs, hemlocks,
oh, yes,
cedar, spruce, over 100 feet tall. We had, at that time, 35 trees over 100 feet tall on our property. The bulldozing compromised the roots of five of those trees. And an arborist the very next day said, these five trees are going to fall. And then the next day we had a windstorm, and that was exactly what happened. Those trees fell. They destroyed the shed that we have in our backyard. It was a two-story custom-built shed. One tree shattered the roof of our home. And so that event, the falling of those trees, and then subsequently our attempt to get some kind of remedy, we spoke with the developer. Developer never approached us. We had to approach the developer. And then we spoke to a lawyer. And what we found out was that the little guy, us, had no standing because what happened to our trees was not against the law. If I may, one of the reviewers of my book said, this is what happens when there's a lack of accountability and corporate greed come together, and it's just too much for people to bear. So I recognized as soon as we couldn't go forward with a lawsuit that there's only one way I could kind of purge my demons. And so I sat down and wrote a story, wrote a book.
And the book, as I say, our emotions as a reader, we go through various emotions as the story is unfolding, story told in the eyes of Frank and Isabel. And I'm sure that's what you went through in dealing with this in real life, dealing with it again in the book. Did it purge your demons writing the book? Did you feel better when you were able to write the story?
Yes.
Good.
Listen,
good.
One of the things I told some friends back on the East Coast, former colleagues, they called me up and said, did this really happen? Just the way you wrote it? And I had to say, I said, no people were killed during the writing of this book.
I took a few liberties as you were telling the story. Well, let's talk about that. When you're writing a book, are you ever concerned that the readers might not like a protagonist who is also a murderer? How does that play out in your mind? Is that a challenge as you're telling the story?
It definitely was. It definitely was. But if you'll, that's one reason why the very first two lines of the book, the second line is, do you think you could be friends with someone who's murdered three people? And I started out that way because I had to put this is not a mystery. It's a thriller, yes, but it's not a mystery because you know from the onset what's about to happen. And I was worried that someone would not accept someone taking revenge or taking justice into their own hands. But that's when you sit down and you consider all the possibilities of how you tell your story.
Well, and you do that so well. In reading the reviews, they love the dialogue, the witty dialogue. They love the way that you tell the story. And life isn't black and white, is it? It's gray. And you play on those areas where just when we think morally we've taken a position, and then we back off a little bit because we realize, okay, this is a gray area here.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things I talk about in the book is no one was more surprised. Well, this is the character. This is Frank Hannigan talking. No one was more surprised than he was that he took the route that he did to get justice for what had happened to him.
How frustrating is it when you go to the authorities and you're expecting to have justice served, and it just doesn't work that way sometimes?
It's very frustrating because after 3 months of research on the part of our lawyer, he said, I have bad news for you. He said, the you have no there's no way that that the law is on your side. And that was the most frustrating part of it, because clearly we'd suffered damage. Our insurance paid for a portion of it, but it didn't cover all of it. And then my wife and I started thinking, well, what does it mean to other people next door to new subdivisions who might experience the same thing? It's almost as if the law was not written for us. It was written for the developers. And that was the most frustrating aspect of all of this, is that that we could not push forward with any reasonable expectation of resolution of the problems that they caused us.
Some people would say, okay, it ended up not the way you wanted, but the story's over. You wanted to go back and tell this story. I tell it in the book form, the book My Backyard is Murder. Were there regrets when you went back? Were there times you thought I should leave this alone? Or was it therapy? It sounds like this was good therapy for you.
Well, one of my wife's best friends is a clinical psychologist. And I shared a good part of the book with her long before I ever published it. And because she is a psychologist, and she looked right at it and she said, you know, I think this is very healthy.
You needed to hear that, I'm sure. Yes.
So I continued. So I pushed forward with it. And I'm rather pleased with the way I decided to end the book. I won't, no endings given away here, but I liked the detective I created for the book, and I liked the way the book ended. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I found from people who've spoken to me about the book, they liked the way the book ended as well.
And if you think as you're reading it, you know where this is going, you'll be surprised. The book does an excellent job of holding you, maybe taking a few twists and turns along the way. And you mentioned it's not taking law into their own hands. They took justice into their own hands. And there is a difference between the two, isn't there?
I believe there really is, particularly when the law is in some way, dare I say, just plain wrong, or it's indifferent to the plight of the people that are wronged. And so that's how the book came about, really.
The book is My Backyard is Murder. John Scannell, our guest on the program, Scannell, the book available. His website, by the way, weatherwood.com. We'll talk about that in a second. Weatherwood, weatherwood.com. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Mention this is your first novel. You've written quite a few others, as you touched on some of those. Do you have a favorite genre? Your goal was to start off writing in various genres. Do you find one, maybe if you had to choose the next one, your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
I think I do. I think I like a fiction, whether it's children's fiction or adult fiction, most of all, because it allows me to play.
Yes.
Which is something that I don't know that you can do. I don't know that you have that kind of openness when you're writing nonfiction. For instance, my book, Road Warrior A to Z, actually, it's a compendium of many of the stories that I wrote while I was on the road. But I tried to stay as close as I could to the reality that I experienced and the way I experienced it. I didn't. Some of the dialogue in Road Warrior is reinvented, but it's pretty much the event happened as I explained it in the book. But I really do like fiction because it gives me an opportunity to let my imagination soar.
And you say with a children's book as well, fiction, whether adult or for a child, talk about the children's book, how they came about. I believe there are two that are published now, another one on the way. Cute story as to how this all happened. It wasn't necessarily that John was going to be a children's author. It just evolved. Talk about how the first book came about.
Well, the first one, my granddaughter, Opal, she's my first granddaughter, her first grandchild, it was Veterans Day, She was 13 months old. And because it was Veterans Day, all the daycares were closed and her parents needed to go to work. And so they called me. I only live a couple miles away from them. And they said, would it be possible for you to look after Opal? And I said, sure. So I went over and spent the day with her. And what I found myself doing was I was constantly amused by her antics, running up and down the hallway. She was a toddler at the time. She liked to splash around in the dog's water bowl. She liked to pull books off the bookcases. So I wrote it all down. And I wrote it initially from my point of view as the grandfather looking after the granddaughter. And then I found that all I did was I turned the narrative around and made Opal the narrator in the story and called the story Babysitting Grandpa. And it was a delight. And I gave it to my daughter, her mom, as a Christmas gift many years ago. And then my daughter said, you know, Dad, I really think that this book would work as an illustrated children's book. So I found an illustrator, a woman by the name of Devika Joglekar, and she's wonderful. I love her artwork. And with a children's book that's fully illustrated, it really is a collaboration.
Yes.
I mean, she's as much an author of this book as I am. I wrote the words, but she did all the pictures. And because I wrote this book for my granddaughter Opal and included her brother Walter at the very end of the book, I found that I was inclined to write the next book called Dogs Really Do Talk about my two grandsons of my third daughter. My daughter Rebecca has two children named Conway and Weston, and I decided to write a book about them. And what I ultimately settled on was Conway and Weston are the two human participants in the book, and our three dogs. We have a Chow, a Black Labrador, and a Pug Boston Terrier mix, and those are the three dogs in the book. So essentially, as people say, well, why do you do this? I said, because I want to immortalize my grandchildren.
And what a great way to do that. These beautiful children's books, which are available, Babysitting Grandpa and Dogs Really Do Talk. And I'm going to ask you about new books. You're working on a new children's book, too, I understand.
Yeah, it's going to be called Cats Are Particular. Wendy and I have three dogs and we have three cats. As I said, we have an acre. A little bit more than an acre, and the dogs can go out and roam on the acre without ever leaving it, because and they're safe. But when I wrote Dogs Really Do Talk, Wendy said to me, you realize, of course, the cats are going to be jealous because they don't have a book of their own. And then that remark, coupled with the fact that my son Ben, my youngest, just had his daughter Eleanor, my granddaughter Eleanor, last June 2nd, I said, okay, there'll be a third book, and it will star Eleanor and our three cats.
So you'll have to check the website, weatherwood.com, and this book available at Amazon that we're talking about in particular, My Backyard is Murder. If you click on the author's name, it will go to other books that are published, and we'll talk about that further in a second. But the books you've written about are Road Warrior A to Z, Tales from 26 Years on the Road, that memoir is available. The Donald Trump Turkey Shoot, you delve into a little satire there as well. Was that therapeutic as well, writing that and getting some of your emotions taken care of by writing
Listen,
about them?
I wrote weekly. I wrote to 55 people. They're just friends that I have, former colleagues, family friends, and so on. And I would write to them every week about what had happened that week during the Trump administration. And at some time in early 2020, I said, you know what, I should take the best of and compile it. And for instance, in the Donald Trump Turkey Shoot, there are short stories, actually kind of fables. There are SNL, Saturday Night Live style sketches that I wrote. There is children's poetry, nursery rhymes. And I put all that together. And there's also commentary and observations that I've made. But yeah, I finally put it together and said I exercised that demon as well. Yeah.
The book is The Donald Trump Turkey Shoot. You'll find that available wherever books are sold. Before I wrap up talking about the books here, are you working on another adult fiction?
I am. Well, and it's been a real delight, I gotta tell you. It's I like the title that actually my wife and I finally settled on. It's called Frosh, you know, like freshman in college.
Yes.
A one-year memoir. And I don't know that you can actually have a one-year memoir, but I do. And it's written about a young man who goes off to college in September of 1965, and the book goes from June 1965 until June 1966, at the very beginning of the Vietnam War. This young man has gone through 12 years of Catholic school. He's now literally out on his own, living on his own. And the first person he meets at college is his new roommate, who happens to be an atheist, which makes for some interesting situations. Oh, yes. In the book. And it's a coming of age story. It's a book about what happens to this young man as he realizes that he used to think he had all the answers, and he realizes that life is not about answers, it's about questions. And sometimes the answers to the questions change. And that's what I hope the book is. It's humorous. I hope it's enormously funny, at least in certain parts. I know parts of it are tragic, because what happened to this young man in that freshman year was, in fact, comic and tragic, both. And of all the books that I've written, this is one that hath my heart, because there's so much of me that's in the book. I call it autobiographical fiction, because it is fiction,
yes,
but there's also a strong strain of autobiography in it.
I am looking forward to that, and hopefully we can discuss that, because that was the same coming-of-age period that I went through off to college in 1965, and thinking back in a one-year memoir, and it's like, yeah, there were a lot of ups and downs, and like you said, getting answers to questions you didn't even know you had. But during that period, we've got, the dating, we've got education, we've got the Vietnam War, we've got music, we've got rebellion, we've got so much that unfolds during that period. I'm really looking forward to that. I've seen the book cover, and if you're watching the YouTube version, it's right over the John's right shoulder. You'll see that up there, and it's really well done, and I'm looking forward to that. You can find all the information at weatherwood.com, Weatherwood Press. Talk about that. I mentioned that. What's the story behind Weatherwood?
Well, you know, my second career was with publishers. I worked for McGraw-Hill, and then I worked for Pearson. But when I joined McGraw-Hill, it was as a national textbook consultant, and I sold textbooks to English teachers and social studies teachers, because that's pretty much what I taught. I taught mostly language arts, but occasionally I teach government. Since I decided to self-publish, the thing is, I decided to self-publish because I wanted to get the books out there.
Yes.
It was just that simple. And having worked as long as I did with McGraw-Hill and with Pearson, I recognized that you could create your own imprint. And Weatherwood is the name that my wife gave to the home, to our piece of property where we live. My wife spent 10 years in Great Britain. She said to me, everybody names their homes over there. It's Dunsinane.
Yes.
If you're a Shakespearean fan. Well, she named this Weatherwood. And I said, well, doggone it, we're going to create an imprint called Weatherwood Press. And that's how that came about. And so far, each one of my books, including Frosh, which hopefully will be out maybe in July, at August at the latest, is under the Weatherwood Press imprint.
And we've got that link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, weatherwood.com, so you can look for John's books there and all of the books, books that he's written earlier, just as sort of a legacy for family members. Those books, I understand, will be available there as well, so you can find find all of those there. And I'm just thinking, as you're talking about going around the country selling textbooks, I can see that it's a whole new world out there today. You go to a school board, and they would probably go, yeah, sounds good, got to run it by some parents before we're able to go ahead and put in the order.
Oh, I know. One of the things that I found was there's no place in the United States that I really can say that I didn't enjoy. I ended up going to places, Rick, that I certainly never would have volunteered to go.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I can imagine.
But I found there, the United States is just a wonderful place to work, period.
And you have been all over it a number of times. Went through all the miles that, you talk about that in the book.
Oh, yeah.
The Road Warrior A to Z.
When you realize that it's, 186,000 miles to the moon, and I flew 4.7 million air miles, you realize?
That puts it in perspective, what John went through in his travels. It's been so much fun having John with us on the program and talking about specifically all of his books, but specifically My Backyard is Murder. You'll find the book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, and at John's website, which is weatherwood.com, weatherwood.com. And get information there on upcoming books as well. John Scannell, our guest on the program, Scannell, that's S-C-A-N-N-E-L-L. Spell it again, S-C-A-N-N-E-L-L. If you're Googling it, link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. John, it's been fun having you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us, and hopefully so many more stories to tell. I hope we can do this again.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it very much.
It has been a pleasure, and John's book's available at Amazon, weatherwood.com, and information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.